not great.
I'll just text him and tell him this. It's not possible.
Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to the work meeting today to discuss the traffic study for the property on corner of Highway 189 and 3000 South. So, Dan, turn the time over to you.
No, thank you.
From here, we have to be done by 6:45.
So, hey, thank you all for everybody's help, and thank you for coming. What we did is, our intention is to work through some of these questions, and we won't necessarily have everything resolved, but we wanted to present as much information as we can to the Council and Planning Commission and allow for you time to one, understand the data, look at it, and have the chance to formulate questions. You know, again, this is a work session, so we're not expecting any kind of action as much as for you to understand what we're trying to propose, run some ideas, and ask questions. So we've invited Jordy from Hales Engineering. He's a licensed traffic engineer up here to the meeting. He's the one who prepared these reports in the memorandum. And there were two things that we charged Hales Engineering with doing. One is to improve and encourage traffic back onto 189 from this project to reduce traffic on 3000 South. But also, we asked Hales to look at some traffic, and he'll say the right word, not me, but traffic restricting, not restricting, but encouraging people to not take 3000 South. And so we had him and the owner of Hales Engineering look at a number of different items, and that's where they prepared this memo. And I read through it, and I had a lot of questions. We've had a number of phone calls about it, just me trying to understand and put my head around it. I'm not a traffic engineer. But we thought it'd be really, really helpful, at least to educate and encourage questions so that we can, when we do propose something, we'd rather have the questions and concerns vetted before we, you know, so we're at least moving in the right direction. And anyway, I appreciate you all coming. Thank you. And so I'm going to just kind of turn Jordy over to let you explain, and feel free to ask questions. So,
yeah, sounds good. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. As you mentioned, I'm glad I've been able to get some project work on out here with Daniel. Let's see if I can just.
You guys are open. Should we put the tape up by him or?
Probably.
So I think you all have a copy of the memo. I'm just going to open that up here on my screen.
Is that your girlfriend?
Yeah. it's my wife. Okay. So as we looked at the study, we did a full traffic impact study where we did go out and we gathered counts, primarily at the 3000 South US 89 intersection to see kind of what the interaction there would be, as well as we actually counted the accesses across 3000 South looking at the public works accesses as well. As traffic engineers, and we like to see good access management where those accesses are lined up, and Dan's site certainly shows those accesses lined up and doesn't create any weird, sometimes we'll see like left turn conflicts with those accesses, and from our standpoint, the accesses look great. And then as we finished that study, it was brought to our attention that there's some concern about 3000 South, and particularly as many of you have seen being residents along that route, there's concern about people cutting through, right? We don't want people to cut between US 40 and US 189. And so I opened up the manuals with our owner, Ryan. Dan mentioned we've been working closely with him as well. And we looked at some things that have been used in other municipalities, some things we've certainly seen locally here in Utah that can certainly de-incentivize that through traffic on 3000 South. So in this memo, we've separated into kind of two categories. The first is, what can the Daniel Commercial Center site do to keep that traffic from cutting through on 3000 South? And then what are some general strategies that the town can consider to do that as well? So as you probably all already know, the project is looking to obtain access onto US 189 directly on the northwest corner of the parcel. As that access, and we're hoping that we can work with UDOT to have that, that would certainly take traffic directly off of 3000 South and even route them away from the signal and prevent any excessive delays that you might expect there. The other options that we've looked at is to install signage on both of the western accesses to the property. And I'll just go scroll over to the site plan here. These two western accesses, we would look at putting signage there to say, you know, right turns only. And the bulk of the traffic would be going through these two accesses to access the gasoline station convenience store and some of the retail land uses. And so that would automatically route them back to the signal and back onto US 189 by restricting those left turns. I apologize, I'm just gonna pull up my paper version of the memo here, but another option is to add additional striping on the project access points to encourage this behavior. So this would go along with, you know, the right turn only signs. We would stripe, you know, the right turn arrow on the pavement. And then if that continues to be an issue, there always is the option to build physical barriers. A lot of us call them pork chops that channelize that traffic into a right turn and make it, you know, virtually impossible for them to turn left. And so those are the main strategies that we think as a development that we can definitely do, and that will take care of the majority of the project traffic. It would send straight back onto US 189 rather than have them continue eastward onto 3000 South, which is not desired. And then just some general recommendations that you as a town can consider. We have just here on page 2. So working with my boss, Ryan, he's actually heard of other municipalities reaching out to, for instance, Google Maps to have them change their routing or make sure that their routing doesn't send, especially heavy vehicles can be an issue, onto 3000 South. So there's that avenue we can take. And then there's a lot of other relatively low-cost options to many of them we call traffic calming measures that reduce speeds. And with reduced speeds, you know, there's even less incentive to cut through 3000 South to get over to Daniels Canyon and US 40. And so we could install local traffic only signs. We could consider speed limit reduction. I believe it's currently posted at 35 miles per hour. I don't know how much of a reduction would be desired. I know a lot of people like to, you know, not drive 15 miles per hour to their house or whatever, but that is an option that could be looked at. There's radar speed signs. If there are compliance issues, those could also be considered. You've seen those that flash at you if you're going too fast. And a route that we could take there, if the current speed seemed to be above what the posted speed is, people are going faster than they should, we could look into doing a speed study to see what that compliance is. And then, as I mentioned, the traffic calming measures are commonly, if you narrow the travel lanes, so say if it's striped as a 12-foot lane, or sometimes they're even bigger on more rural roads, I'm not sure what it is on 3000 South right now, but as you narrow those lanes, it creates the illusion of kind of more congestion, or it gets drivers. It's been found in study that drivers will slow down and as they go down that route. Another option would be to add maybe a bike lane. I think there may be sufficient space on one side of the road to do that, or on-street parking, which may or may not apply here. Optical speed bars. I was actually just talking with David here about the optical speed bars. They look like this. And that's also another cheap option to stripe, and they create that illusion of that narrow roadway, and it just keeps the local traffic there and de-incentivizes people from wanting to use the road to cut through.
Did you say there was a lot of research on those being really effective, actually?
Yeah, so this is just a handout we've used on some other studies and things we've done with UDOT. But yeah, there has been research that generally it'll reduce speeds by about 5 miles per hour, if I remember the research right. I'm not sure the handout says so here. And then just some other ones we mentioned were roadside landscaping or median islands. Those always, as you have kind of more of what we call kind of gating features, people know they're entering a community rather than just going through an arterial, and that creates more of a local road kind of feel. Curb extensions at intersections, you've seen those where as you approach an intersection it kind of goes in and out and it just creates that narrower road feel. Traffic chicanes make it a little bit more circuitous. Yeah, traffic chicane, that's a good question. I'm not sure I have a, let me see if I can find a, oh, you know what, I'm not connected to the internet, but it's where it's almost, it's like curb extensions, but they're just one on one side, one on the other side, and so it actually causes the road to meander a little bit more, and again, that may or may not be desirable based on the community, but that is an option that we've seen used in the past to calm traffic. And then raised crosswalks at intersections. I think there's a couple four-way stops that could be good candidates if for a raised crosswalk. I'm not sure what the pedestrian demand is right now without having studied the corridor as a whole. But ultimately, these are just a bunch of ideas that would be effective and would de-incentivize people cutting across 3000 South. And so, yeah, I don't know if there's any questions for me or for the other guys on the team about the project. But
I was just curious, when did you do your traffic sample?
Yes.
What time of the week?
So we collected our data, and I actually have the study here. For these sorts of developments with kind of mixed use and office space, we collect our data on a typical weekday. So the national standard is to collect data on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, and then we make adjustments. We actually look at data. In this case, we looked at data on US 189 for seasonal adjustments, because especially out here in the Heber Valley, we know that some seasons, you know, traffic is almost dead. Other seasons, you know, everyone's going fishing in Strawberry or whatever. And so we made sure to adjust for those. And I'm just trying to find the day that we counted, just so you have that.
April 19th.
Okay.
7:45 to 8:45 a.m. and 5 to 6 p.m.
That's correct, yep. And we studied the peak two-hour periods, and then from that we've identified the peak one-hour period, which were those times. That's on page 4 of the report for those of you that have that up under the traffic volume section, section C. So yeah, they're brand new counts. They're collected just last month. So
with that in mind, because we are pass-through community, on weekends, holidays, boy, everything just goes up exponentially. The amount of traffic that we see, for example, entering the transfer station on the weekend, you can get a good queue clear out into almost the highway. That's what I meant. Vehicles queuing in there just waiting to get in because they have to use those scales.
Yeah.
And so see, it would seem like to me, you know, obviously sampling on a weekday is, like you say, is a national standard. It would seem like to me we probably ought to do something on holidays and weekends to see if we really are going to have some congestion issues there. You know, people wanting to get off on 3000 South, if that's route and choose, and then running possibly into people wanting to turn into the transfer site. So, and then if you're going to measure volume and speed, same thing. You know, if I'm towing my boat or my horse trailer, you know, I want to get to my spot.
And yeah.
We have no law enforcement today. So even though we can do some things to maybe soften the speed limit or whatever, right now we currently have a lot of people that just disregard it because they know nobody's going to stop them.
Nobody's going to stop them.
There's no penalty. And so it would seem like to me if we were going to, again, do some analysis here, those those pinch points, I think, are critical.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. No, I appreciate that comment. And if I understand you correct, that the main issue you were kind of talking about is this people coming in here and turning in
right
this area, and sometimes it backs into the intersection there.
Yeah.
It backs up and goes both down sides. The highway, and then going down 3000 south, the people trying to make a left-hand turn into the dump off 3000, that backs up for 3 or 4 blocks.
On
Fridays and Saturdays, you can't get in there. I mean, I sat down there 2 weeks ago and watched people flip each other off because they couldn't go nowhere and they cut in front of each other. And then you got the people that dump trying to get out and back onto 3000. I mean, we're talking, this is a major issue down here. I mean, I'm telling you right now, you want to watch a fiasco, go pop, get some popcorn and go sit on that intersection on a Friday and a Saturday. So
just curious, I drove right after we had the discussion last week and I looked at it, and someone we were talking with Jory and Ryan about this, is there any chance that UDOT can expand into a right-hand turn lane on that, what do you call it, the west side of 3000 South, so there's just a dedicated road there? I mean, is there any way they can do that, or UDOT can expand that?
Of course, that's a possibility. If we reach the point of no return, and then all of a sudden, let's just say we go ahead and permit the project, everything's moving forward, but all of a sudden, undue congestion shows up. Well, that's when everybody has to roll with and say, well, this is unacceptable. We've already approved the project, but the likelihood that they're going to do it in advance, in anticipation, is probably pretty slim.
So I'm wondering about an island down 3000 South where they have to make a left-hand turn or a right-hand turn out of these right here and go back onto 189. We put an island down the middle of that, and it becomes two lanes on each side. I mean, I understand this is a traffic study, but I understand too what I've witnessed down there, and it's comical. And we're going to add these. I was under the understanding that there was only going to be one turnout on the 3000 South, and there was going to be two out on 189 to bring the traffic into this development off of 189, not three on 3000 South. That's kind of what I was under the understanding.
I think the last plan showed all three of those turns in. But and then there's obviously the issue of petitioning UDOT to see if we can find access to the property without people actually getting on or off 3000 South.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a dumb question, but have you explored the idea of putting the service station on the east side?
We haven't explored it on the east side. That would be really interesting. We've talked to UDOT. We had some informal meetings, and then we got to the point where it was cart and horse kind of thing. And what we want to do is go with the city, a letter from the city, and honestly, we had a petition from residents saying, hey, we want this access on 189. Like, if you read that first part of the memo, that if you look at the traffic impact study, the amount of traffic they're actually throwing out on that the airport access it's like 3x what they have on any of the other ones. It just becomes a natural access. I hadn't thought of that. That's an interesting thought.
Well, again, you'd have to have a slowdown and a turn lane there off of the highway, and if we could, if that further easternmost point. And the service station is up there, then the other traffic could meander in and out, find their way, but obviously the gorilla in the room is going to be the service station. That's where the majority of the traffic is going
to
come.
And my question to that, Robin, is will the FAA approve a service station at the end of the runway right now?
Right. According to, on the existing map right now, the existing area of impact hits the top right-hand corner of this property, which says that if we're within that, so basically to the east of that, we should do a service station. The new line comes in, go. It comes in halfway through the property. And so they...
That's where I was in.
Yeah, the new one does. It encroaches, it takes about half his property away.
So it isn't going to matter whether it's on the east or the west. If there's a conflict, that goes, you know,
that's
going right over the top. But I just wonder if there's some way to reconfigure the site plan to allow for, and then we go full court press on getting an access there to the east.
Yeah, we're still talking about the issue of the transfer station primarily right now, right?
So, well, yeah, and that's why I'm saying I was thinking about that the other night and wondered how we can ameliorate that.
Well, there was a resident here that said something about requeuing on some property closer to the highway. Is that a possibility?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Could the transfer station solve its own problem potentially?
Because you have traffic coming from both directions to service the transfer site.
Is it the county or? Does the city have any pull where they can say, hey, you need to...
This is a safety issue, guys. We need to
expand.
It's a safety issue right now.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying that might be the tipping point or the card that might convince UDOT to say, let's go ahead and agree to an access.
Because what they did, I'm just to be clear, if somebody's not following me, on this plan that he drew up before, he showed a potential solution as being another dedicated right-hand turn lane that kind of dead ends at the county site. I mean, it goes into the county, so if you're right-hand, you can right in. You know, it doesn't help the left-hand question like you had. You know, one good thing that, you know, maybe it helps, maybe it does. The stuff on the right-hand side is really just 9 to 5,
sure,
Saturday. The gas station is going to be every day. And so, like, some of that traffic will be mitigated. Oh, hey, I'm sorry. I want to give you all a heads up. Some of you already know this. I reached out to the airport manager about potentially running our access point through that little point where they aren't using any dirt. Guess who called me back? The city attorney from Heber. And we had a 45-minute conversation, and I'd be lying if I didn't say I was a little rattled. They just basically threw a lob the ball across the deck and said, we're playing hardball with you guys. And so I'm a little frustrated because to me that, well, anyway, that's a different conversation. But so there's no chance of us moving it from that one point. So,
right.
And so our only chance is really getting the city to help, maybe residents to help and petition saying, hey, we need this access, it's safety. I really thought they'd be reasonable, but I mean, when you call one person and then the city attorney reaches out to you and calls you back.
Yeah.
It was a little, Dave thought it was funnier than I did, but I didn't think it was very funny. I was about to say funny. I'm sorry.
Can I ask just one other question?
Please. No.
So I'm curious if you have reached out to Ryan Taylor and Adura and our engineers down there, as well as our town planner, and got any ideas or any thoughts from them about this?
I do have an engineer. I can actually answer that one. Our engineer, the guy who's scale engineering, the guy you see there on the right, is best friends with Ryan Taylor. Like, he's the guy who took him to the hospital and was with him. He's been in constant contact with Ryan, you know, even when he was out for a while. And I guess he's hurt again. So they our, not necessarily Jordy, but Scale's been talking to Ryan on a regular basis and his replacement during that time. So they have a really good relationship. So I don't know, maybe you talked to him too, but I know that...
So has Ryan had any input on this at all?
On this part, yes. But I don't know what exactly was in it, but I'd just be making that up.
You know, when I leave this meeting, I'm going to go call Ryan.
I don't know. I don't know what. You just say you talked to Greg Wilson. Greg Wilson is our engineer. And say, Greg Wilson has designed this. What input can we have with it? I haven't been in those conversations, but I know that they talk all the time. So.
But haven't you been talking with Ryan and Eric for the last 4 months, 5 months?
Yeah.
Well, I know you've had some meetings with them.
Ryan's been out for most of the time, but Greg, if you bring up the name Greg Wilson, say, have you contacted Greg Wilson, been in touch with you? And that's who was our engineer, so.
And we have one gal sitting right here right now, Amelia, that is part of the Dura and the engineering crew from Daniel. So I know that she knows what's going on also.
Yeah.
Any other questions from a traffic study standpoint?
The softening from
You have some suggestions here of things you could do A, B, C, D, or E. I'd love to see, hey, we recommend you do A and C or B and D or a little more specific.
A little more specific, okay. Mm-hmm. And that's certainly something we could do, especially when we, if we were to gather a little more data on 3000 South and kind of know what the existing speeds are like, how people are complying with the existing speed limit.
Are you able to, based on what he just said, say, okay, if nothing changed except that, you know, a service station or a development went on this corner, then could you lay over like what these mitigating factors would do to reduce that? Are you able to do those kind of modelings?
You know, that's a good question.
I mean, getting Google to reroute probably has a significant impact, and you know, reducing the speed limit.
I mean, whether the
right. But I'm just saying that could you see how the impact, you know, occurs based on what
maybe. Say it's not that easy to do. You guys will either need to do it or give us specific instructions and who to talk to, because we have problems right on the street that we can't get solved. So.
If it came as a result of UDOT and a companion letter from town that basically we're experiencing undue traffic volumes because, and it's a safety issue, then I think Google will listen.
Part of it is just who to get it to at Google.
Exactly.
You need a human body to actually
have somebody carry the baton. That's
the hardest part.
You
need
an AI body.
But it's not.
Have AI draft up a letter.
Has a Google content.
You think so?
And if they went to that person and says, we've got an issue here, and it's creating hazard, maybe they'll listen to
that. Yeah. Well, that's certainly something we could look into. We definitely have some good contacts at UDOT that I can reach out to and kind of see what avenues they've used before. So,
if you were going to model, as everybody's doing spring cleaning and all of this other stuff, man, I'm telling you, you're going to really see.
It's changing your data.
You're going to see the volumes at the transfer station.
Until this Saturday.
This spring.
Well, part of the problem is they have such bad flow in there.
No.
And I noticed there's a new scale there. I'm wondering if that's a second scale.
No,
or replacement.
Not. It's replacement.
Because people have to go around and reweigh and. Traffic's just totally backwards on that, so you really want to make a left turn into the right lane to get to the scale, and it's really poorly done. And then you've got the recirculating traffic trying to get back to the scale, which then blocks those coming in. And
you have to wave in advance, then you have to circle, then come back and wave again, and you're conflicting at every point. And like I say, I don't think anybody anticipated that to be a problem, but it really is.
But what he's talking about adds to the slowdown on 3000.
On 3000.
Because they're inefficient within their facility.
Yeah.
If you start putting weekend gas pumps and treat stuff with that.
Well, that's why,
that may push the county to make some improvements also.
It may push them. Well, but it's always the cart before the horse, and it's always when somebody dies or something happens.
Same thing with the right turn lane at the 3000 South. It had to be a serious accident before they put that in. After they took it out, and then we had a couple of bad accidents, and they finally put it back in.
Yeah.
There was a major accident at that intersection just recently. possible.
Dan, I don't know if you have any other thoughts.
Any other questions, direction, comments?
I noticed that the site plan in the front and the one in the appendix are different in that the middle entrance shows a left and a right turn, and your other one has a right turn only, which is the better solution.
Yeah. So I believe...
Yeah, that's the correct one, I believe. But the one right up front shows right and left in the other and that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I...
Right and left, which one?
So it's on my printed one here. That's all I know. They're, the one on page two, right in front.
You need to look at that one because...
I think they're...
Say you bought gas.
Same from what I...
Where's your route back? Yeah. Clear out around the building.
To my house?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go clear back so I can make a left turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you...
Or would it be better to have a left turn available there, but not the other one? I don't think so.
Yeah, that's an older plan.
Okay. Yeah, the first version shows both of them.
Okay. So the one in the front is just an old...
Yeah, that's an old one. Okay.
Okay.
This is the one that we've been just moving through.
And that's in here as well, just in a different spot. So.
Was it the memo one that was the older one?
Yeah, it was that first plan that we had, and I had him correct it.
Oh, okay.
Where it had a full left, yeah, that one's left and right.
Oh, so. That's right, yeah. Yeah, we moved on from that one.
So one of the maps in there snuck in there somewhere. So.
Okay.
In looking through your calming majors and things on 3000 Souths, have you considered a roundabout up on that end for visually not looking up a road that looks like it's cut off?
Yeah, roundabouts are definitely options for traffic calming.
Visually.
The main downside to roundabout and is just cost overall, so it would be... You know, the cost to the town.
Are they super expensive?
Yeah, they could be quite expensive, up to $1 million or more sometimes.
Really?
From what I've seen. And from a traffic operations standpoint, if it doesn't warrant a four-way stop or a roundabout, then it's even harder to justify the cost, I suppose. But it's certainly something that could be looked into. That would definitely de-incentivize, especially trucks, right, from cutting through all the way across 3000 South.
Well, I think just visually, you look up the road and you're not looking up the road, you're seeing a roundabout.
You're seeing a big old roundabout, yeah.
You're pulling your trailer going, I'm going back to the highway.
Yeah.
I guess that would be the same thing you're doing with the curbs and the narrow travel lanes.
Yeah.
Just optical. I don't know how everybody in here feels about roundabouts, but.
Yeah. Oh, good comment. Yeah.
You know, his house is right there.
Have an elk in the middle of it.
I like that one in St. George. I was doing the one by QCOM. They got a big, 30-foot horses rearing
I like the one they put on Daniel Drove because it's so skinny you can't even pull your truck through it. So we want one of them real skinny roundabouts.
There you go. Yeah.
Real tire
on the curb. Or we'll probably have a derby car in the middle.
Yeah.
Are there any other points we should look at here?
Yeah, we've got 5 minutes left, so use your wisely.
How can we help? I mean, but besides going to UDOT and seeing if we can get another access, do we need to involve the county in this discussion?
I don't know. This is me just looking from it from just an objective standpoint. I think it's just critical. And I look at it, and I think there's a power line on that south side too, or the west side of that road. So something they'd have to probably relocate a pole on it, if I remember right. Whenever I'm pulling in, thinking there might be some problems, obstructions, but I can't remember. I think getting UDOT involved in some kind of dialogue, or at least just kind of memorandum from the mayor and council saying this is important to our city, I think that will go a long way. I think talking to to the county about expanding and doing the right hand only lane there would be huge, because I saw that on the plan and liked it. But I mean, I'm not a traffic engineer. That just seemed like the most logical solutions to me, you know. You know, I that's kind of what I've been thinking. But again, I'm not. That's why you keep majority. So anyway, that's why I came in, is I figured that all of us, we have better ideas than just me throwing them out. So if you guys have
is it possible to know, like, who's using the transfer station most? Is it contractors?
Is it like Heber residents? Or is it
they won't take it?
So it's residents of the whole county that use that.
Yeah, it's all in
county. So I guess since Heber's the biggest city, it would mostly...
In the county, the city. Yeah. Contractors now can't dump waste down there. They have to go to Ace Dump, which is on Airport Road. But still, you've been on Airport Road, and that dumps back down onto 3000 South on Southfield Road, and the residents of Midway have to go that way or go that way. They don't have to, but it's more convenient to go down South Hill Road, hit 3000, and head to Midway. So, I mean, the whole county, this is a county-wide road, honestly, because that is where the general public can take their garbage, but they've routed contractors elsewhere now.
People hauling dump trucks.
Yep.
Those, I see them all the time.
So if it's personal waste, like if you cut a tree down in your residential yard and it's your residential waste, then you can take it to the dump. But a contractor that's cleaning up a job site can no longer dump down there. They have to go to Ace. So I know that because I just got booted out of there. So.
Yeah, I think a call from you from the county about expanding that to a right turn lane, that'll probably go a lot better than me calling the county telling them to do it.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, I think that'll go further with you, Don.
Yeah.
If the county and us say, hey, we got this log jam right here, got to develop potential development that's going to bring volume to that same intersection. We can relieve this hazard by an additional 189 access.
Just a quick question for you, Jordy. So yeah. I'm sorry, this is happening off the cuff off of what you just said a minute ago. Right now we're almost at the cusp of what UDOT would allow for that 189 access.
Right.
And Robin just suggested, what if we could bring in an access about halfway through? Is UDOT going to say, hey, we're more likely to grant an appeal if we're closer to that? Or are they going to care if we just throw it in like the 500 feet? Because that would actually draw more traffic out that direction.
Right, because they'd bring them closer to the commercial side.
Because I like that actually.
You know, from my standpoint, it would matter in that UDOT, they have their access spacing requirements for a reason, and one of the biggest reasons is to accommodate those deceleration lanes. So like we had drawn, we got that huge, long, you know, northeastbound right turn deceleration lane. And per their standards, I'd have to look it up, but I believe it would need to be about 800 feet or so, which we're right kind of on the edge of the length of what that lane would need to be. But I think there is something to be said if the transfer station traffic is affecting the signal, that is one of UDOT's problems. That's a problem UDOT needs to work with the county or whoever it might be to address. And I think that's a good route to approach is maybe from the town standpoint is, to make it known that it's causing issues at that UDOT signal. The more we can work with UDOT to get their variant, they call it a variance for an access where it doesn't quite meet spacing. If we can get that, that'll really, really help the traffic on 3000 South. So.
Okay, we're out of time. appreciate the information that was presented here and the comments. So thank you.
And feel free to call us. You've got our numbers or emails, and I appreciate it. A number of you reached out, and thank you. Feel free to reach out anytime. So, and if you have any ideas, my idea was to get the brain going, and you can think about this rather than being shot out of the blue on a meeting. So. Here.